Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm delighted to be here tonight, and I really thank all of you for the very warm welcome you gave me as I came in before and met you personally. Paisim b'chvayt Sanya, thank the Koilel, the Reish Keller, Rabbi Bieberfeld, for inviting me to be here. And I must tell you that I am really delighted to discuss the subject matter tonight. And I'll get right to it, because it's a deep and lengthy subject. And I know that it's already nighttime, and you've had a long day. But I hope that you will really pay attention to what I'd like to share with you. And this much I can guarantee you, that if you pay attention, and I'm sure you will, that I hope with Hashem's help, you will leave here tonight very enriched, and a whole new component may be added to your Torah lifestyle. The subject tonight is the subject of Birkas HaTorah, the blessing over the Torah. This blessing is clearly the most important blessing in the list of Jewish brachas. We have many. And I believe it's not just the most important blessing, but the minutes we take every day to recite this blessing is the most important minute of the day, and it might be the focal point of our lives. And I'd like to demonstrate that to you tonight, why that is so. And from the outset, I'd like to make it very clear that the halacha is in the Shulchan Aruch that women are supposed to make the Torah blessing every day just as much as the men. So this is a very germane topic, not just for this side of the audience, but for this side of the audience, the Nashim Tzadkaniyos. It is very pertinent to you as well. What is the source of the Birkas HaTorah? Where do we know that a person must make a blessing over the mitzvah of studying Torah? Where do we know this from? So the Gemara in Brachas Daf Chaf Aleph, Brachas 21a, says that in truth, the only blessing which is clearly spelled out in the Torah itself, in the scripture, in the written Torah, is Birkas HaMazon. The blessing after we eat a meal with bread, Birkas HaMazon, grace after meals, that is clearly a Torah obligation. It says, V'achalta, V'savata, U'beiracha, as Hashem Elokecha. You shall eat, you'll be satisfied, you'll bless Hashem your God. But where does it say, in the Chamisha Chum Sheitayr, in the five books of Moses, that one makes a blessing before one studies Torah? So the Gemara says, "Menayin lebirkas haTorah lefanel, menat Torah." Shenemar says in the end of Devarim Deuteronomy, "Ki shem Adonai yekra, havagodel Eloheinu." When I call out the name of God, give glory to our Lord, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki shem Hashem yekra. When I proclaim the name of God, give glory to the Almighty. This is the source of making a blessing before we study Torah. It is not exactly clear where we see in this verse that one makes a blessing over the Torah. It's a pretty generic statement. When you say God's name, give God the glory. Where do you see Torah here? But yet the Talmud says this is the source. It's interesting to note that there is a major difference already between the grace after meals and the blessing on Torah study. Grace after meals, Birkas HaMazon, is after you eat. And the blessing on Torah is before you eat. What's the difference? So the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Tav Lamed, this is a great Sefer written, according to most opinions, by Rabbi Aaron of Barcelona, Spain, sometime in the 1200s. He wrote it for his son. His son wasn't such an avid Torah scholar. He wasn't interested in learning so much. So his father said, you know what? I'll write for you a special book, a digest of all the mitzvahs. And it's a tremendous synopsis of the 613 Torah mitzvahs. And it has actual application with some insights, some philosophical insights as well. So here the Sefer HaChinuch says, it seems to me that the blessing over food, over a meal, a bread meal, the blessing from the Torah is recited after you eat. Because when it comes to food, we are appealing to the Chelek HaBahami. We're appealing to the lower part of man, the animal part, the physical part, and the Nefesh HaBahami will not appreciate something, Rak Achara Hergish. The flesh only appreciates something after it's actually experienced and tasted and felt. You have to have regesh, a feeling. So therefore the blessing, God only makes it incumbent upon us to bless Him after we actually feel the pleasure of a full stomach. However, when it comes to studying Torah, Torah is not a physical pursuit. The study of Torah is chelik haseichel. Torah is for our minds, our intellect, our rational. And the seichel, man's mind, anticipates, even before we engage in Torah study, the mind anticipates what lies in store for it. And therefore, even before it has, so to speak, tasted the sweet wine of Torah study, it already can bless God and have an idea, a concept of what is going to happen in anticipation. And therefore, Yichayvenu Ho'el, Lahoidas Lefan of Koidem Kriyas HaTaira, the Rabbanu Shlalam demanded of us to make a blessing to Him even before we study, because we already can appreciate it. He says, Maidal Emes, Yim Satam Dvorai. A person of truth will understand what I'm talking about. He'll appreciate what I'm saying. Very interesting insight. But the source again is Kishema Shemekra Havagod Lo Kingdom. Before I go any further, what am I talking about here? Let me read to you. Let us read from the Siddur the exact words of a Birkas HaTorah. What are these words? Let me read it to you. And the truth of the matter is that in the liturgy there are not one but three Torah blessings. This is the blessing not when a person has an aliyah, when the Torah is read publicly. This is the blessing that every Jew and Jewess makes every morning at the beginning of davening. And there are three blessings. The Rambam calls it three blessings. Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedishanu V'Tzeisav. Blessed are you, O God, the Lord and the King of the universe, who has sanctified us with His mitzvahs, V'tzivanu La'asoik B'divrei Sarah. God has commanded us to be involved. Note, it doesn't say Lilmod Torah, to study Torah. It says La'asok, to be involved, and something that means to toil in Torah. That's the first blessing. Then we have something unique. Before the second blessing, we have a bridge. And this bridge is a supplication, a personal entreaty, begging God, pleading with God to help us in this pursuit. It's unique. There is no other blessing like this. There's nothing like this. Number one, it's tripartite. Three parts, three blessings, and in the middle, this bridge. The bridge goes, V'harevna Hashem Elokeinu. Please, please make sweet for us, Hashem our God. As the race are eschabafinu, let them be sweet in our mouths. With the Yamcha Beis Yisrael, and the mouths of all the Jewish people, the whole house of Israel. V'niya anachnu, and let us be. V'tzetzo'enu, our children, and our children's children. V'tzetzo'ei Amcha Beis Yisrael, our children and the children of the whole Jewish people. I'm not praying this myself. Kulanu, may all of us be Yodei Shemecha Vilomdei Sarasech Lishma. When we all know your name and learn your Torah for the right reasons, to know you, to know what your will is, what your desire is, what you want of us, the secrets of Almighty God. This is a very important supplication. I had a friend, a great rabbi, he's older than me, great rabbi from Bnei Brak. His name is Rabbi Shmuel Tzvi Kowalski. Unfortunately, he died young in his 50s. He was a great, he headed the Kollel in Bnei Brak. And posthumously, a biography was printed about him. And I knew him well, but this part I read in the biography. And there is written that the biographer came to Reb Shmuel Tzvi on his deathbed. And this man, who gave his life and his heart away for the Jewish people, he was a tremendous Baal Chesed, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, Talmud of the Chazon Ish. On his deathbed, he had nothing better to talk about than to tell this young person, listen, you're a father of children. Fathers are busy, and the chances are you're not spending enough time with your children, studying with them, playing with them, influencing them, being a father. You're not giving them enough love. You should do all the above. You must. That's what a father's all about. That's what you have children for. But I have a little remedy for you, just in case you're a little bit behind in your paternal obligations and you haven't discharged your responsibilities well enough. The good Lord gives us a daily opportunity to do something wonderful for our children. And that is, when you make this, when you recite this special supplication during the Birkas HaTorah, and you say, V'niya anachnu v'tzetzo'enu, and may we and our children learn Torah properly to know God. Picture in front of your mind the faces of your children and think of their names. Go through every child you have and think of their names and their mother's name, your dear wife, and have them specifically in mind when you make this bracha. And that will energize and vitalize the supplication and the blessing in an enormous way, and you will see results in your children. So tonight I'm happy to pass on this segula, this little good piece of advice to all of you here. Have in mind at that time. And then after the supplication we have the second bracha, which is Baruch Ato Hashem, Blessed are you Hashem, Hamalameid Torah Liamo Yisrael. Blessed are you Hashem, who is the teacher of Torah to his nation Israel. That is the second of the Birkas HaTorah. So it's a new thing. The Gemara tells us there's a Birkas HaTorah, and suddenly we have three. We have to understand this. We're not finished. Finally, we have a third blessing, all in the Siddur, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Bonu Mikol Amim. Blessed are you, O God, who has chosen us from all the nations, V'nosan Lanu Es Toraso, and has given us His Torah, a great gift. The Shulchan Aruch says we should be filled with gratitude. If we won the lottery, we'd be dancing. Make a great shidduch, we're rejoicing. Every morning, every Jew and Jewess who understands what Torah is should rejoice that God has given us the greatest treasure, far more valuable than the greatest lottery, than anything we can imagine. So thank you, Hashem. You went through the roster of all the nations. You chose us, gave us your Torah. Baruch Ato Hashem. No Sein HaTorah. Thank you, God. Bless you, God, who gave us the Torah and gives us, continues to give us the Torah. A lot of brachas here. So we will have to explain what these brachas mean. Why we have so much? That is part of our agenda tonight. By the way, though, now you see, Rabbi Bieberfeld, when he called me to give a lecture, he said, "Rabbi Foyer, I don't want you to give a speech. And this is not about stories. And Vertlach, this is a serious group over here. These are very intellectual people. This is Philadelphia. This is Philadelphia. And this is a very serious chevra here. So I want you to give them something challenging. So I hope you'll pardon me if this is heavy stuff." Okay. Don't pardon me. I hope you'll thank me. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Aleph, when the Gemara brings down these three blessings, all from the Talmud, on the side of the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Eger notes that in the first blessing, which we'll focus on now, the Rif, Rabbi Yitzhak Alfasi, from the earliest of the codifiers, Rishonim, he has a different text reading in the Gemara, and his Gemara read, not that the first bracha is, "Blessed you Hashem, who has commanded us la'asoik b'divrei Torah, to be involved in words of Torah," but rather his text read, "Al divrei Torah, on the words of Torah. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam, al divrei Torah. Shek v'sham z'sav v'tzivanu, al divrei Torah. God commanded us on words of Torah." Not la'asoik in action, but al. And a matter of fact, the Rambam, and the Hilchos Tefila says clearly there are three blessings, and the first one ends, Al Divrei Torah. The blessing is on the words of the Torah. What is the meaning of that? Why do they have a different, what's the meaning of this new text? So before we get to the explanation of that new text, that new reading, there's another question, which is a very intriguing one, especially for the women. And that is as follows. There is a major debate amongst the halachic decisors, the poskim, about women and the blessings they make. Now there are many mitzvahs that women are exempt from, and women need not sit in a sukkah. They are not obligated to sit in a sukkah. Women need not shake a lulav and esrog, and women are really exempt from the mitzvah of hearing a shofar. What if a woman does hear the shofar? What if a woman does sit in the sukkah? What if she does shake a lulav and esrog? Does she make a blessing? Well, according to the Rambam, and according to the Beis Yosef, the Sephardic dimension of the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, women do not make a blessing if they eat in the sukkah. Women do not, if a man will blow a shofar for a woman, he won't make a blessing for her. And if a woman shakes a lulav and esrog, husband brings her home a lulav and esrog, I come from shul, give my wife a lulav and esrog. Don't take it apart. It's the most important thing. Well, I give it to my wife. According to the Rambam, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, the Sephardic part, women cannot say, how can a woman say, "Asher kedishanu b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu leishay basukah"? If women are not bound to a mitzvah, which is a time, a mitzvah has a specific time, zman grama, so if there's no tzivui, if there's no commandment, how can the woman say, "V'tzivanu"? Even if she volunteers to do it. It's clearly a volunteer thing to do, but she can't say "V'tzivanu". There's no tzivui. However, the Ramah, the Ashkenazic part of the Shulchan Aruch, which we follow, I assume most people here, so not everybody is Ashkenazic. We follow the opinion of the French Balei Tosfos, who say that since women are incumbent in the vast majority of mitzvahs, So therefore, they're really responsible for all mitzvahs. Vitzivan, the God commanded the Torah to women like men. Just that in certain mitzvahs that have a certain time, women are so busy doing their glorious functions as wives and mothers, there's an exemption. They don't have to shake a lulav and esrog. They don't have to hear shofar if they're busy with something else, something more important, taking care of their families. But if they do it, they can certainly save it sivanu, because really God commanded them in everything. Just they have an exemption from certain ones, but they command them in everything. So if they choose not to use their exemption, they can say, God commanded me on this as well. So the idea, commandment, tzivanu, applies for women, even in such things they're exempt from. Fine? So that's halacha lemaisa. I'm sure when you take a little of an esrog, you do make the bracha. And when you sit in the sukkah, you do make a bracha. Fine. But here's the question now. Listen carefully. The question is that the same Rambam and the same Shulchan Aruch, which say that any mitzvah which a woman doesn't have to do, she's exempt. Remember, they say she cannot save it sivanu. That's the first opinion. She's not mitzvah. The Maisa, she's exempt. There's no commandment in her now. She's exempt. She's free. The same Rambam and the same Shulchan Aruch says that a woman who wants to study Torah, women don't have to study Torah like men. The main obligation is on men. The idea of studying constantly is on men. But if a woman wants to study Torah, she may study Torah, what's appropriate for her. And if she does it, it's a mitzvah. And there's no question that a woman can say this bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedeshanu V'Seisav V'Tzivanu La'Asayk B'Divrei Torah or Al Divrei Torah. The Rambam says clearly, a woman makes the blessing. So the same Rambam, which says that where a woman's exempt from other mitzvahs, she does make a blessing. And the same Shulchan Aruch, who follows the Rambam, says that here, by Torah, a woman makes the blessing. And this is a great question. Why? Why is Torah different? Good question. This is the question. So, the Brisker Rav, Rabbi Yitzhak Zev Soloveitchik, who passed away in 1960, quotes his father, the famous, world-renowned, they're both world-renowned, the great giant of Torah, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, Rabbi Chaim Halevi, that his father said, he says here, that his father, Rabbi Chaim Halevi, said that Birkas HaTorah is different than every other mitzvah. Because on Birkas HaTorah, listen carefully, every bracha on a mitzvah, the mitzvah is on the action. I'm about to put on tefillin, make a bracha. A woman's about to light Shabbos candles, she makes a blessing on the act of lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. So the bracha is on the action. She's about to light, ignition, kindling. Says Reb Chaim Halevi Soloveitchik that by Torah, the blessing is not on the man or the woman who's doing the action. The bracha is on the chefza, the subject of Torah itself. The bracha is on the Torah text. It's on the chefza of Torah. Torah atzma tuna bracha. In the Grizel, the Rambam, he says, Eina chanami, women are exempt from the mitzvah, the act of learning Torah. Women don't have to learn Torah like men. But the not mufkois mi etzam chefza shel Talmud Torah. And therefore they think a bracha on the chefza of Torah, on the body of Torah, on the Torah literature, on the Torah itself, on the object of Torah. That's why women and men make the brachas of Torah. Not the blessings on the learning, but on the object of the Torah itself. What does that mean? So here we come to the gist and the soul and the core of everything I'd like to convey to you tonight. And that is that Torah is different than every other mitzvah. When you have Shabbos candles in front of you, these are Shabbos candles. You're lighting them right before Shabbos. It's lit for Shabbos. You have it in the candlesticks, you're lighting the L'chavit Shabbos. It's clearly for L'chavit Shabbos. You put on tefillin, it's clearly tefillin. A sukkah is a sukkah. A lulav is a lulav. A shofar is a shofar. And you make a brach on a piece of bread, the bricks the henan, it's a piece of bread. By Torah, you open up a book, a Jewish sefer. It is not clear yet. What are you about to do? What do you think, my dear students? What are you learning here? There are many, unfortunately, in history who have studied the Bible and the Jewish texts as a secular book. And you know, in Germany, at the beginning of the Reform, the first thing they did was they stopped calling Torah study, Torah study. And they called it Das Wissenschaft, Das Judentum. It was called the knowledge, the pursuit of Judaic knowledge. And in many universities to this day, there is a department of Middle Eastern studies and comparative religion and Middle Eastern literature, and people, not even Jews, study the Bible. It might be the same text we use. They may very well use an art scroll Gemara, or an art scroll Chumash, with a nice English translation, or an interlinear one. And you have two people sitting together in a study hall in a secular university, and one has intention, I am studying the Word of the Living God, I am studying the Torah that was given at Sinai 3,500 years ago, and the sound of God's voice, which emanated from Mount Sinai, is still reverberating and resonating and echoing from every page and every line and every letter of the Holy Torah. And these sacred letters are filled with eternal life. I'm studying the Word of God. And the person next to him, and it might be a woman, sitting right next to him in the study hall, is curious about Bible stories. It's a nice story. Abraham and Sarah. And what a drama of Isaac almost being slaughtered at that Cana. So you have two people next to each other, and to one person, it's stories, or literature, or scholarship, and the other person is the holy living Word of God. And therefore, the Torah, being so unique, before one studies the Torah, the student must define the text. The student must define the subject and proclaim, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, I am hereby proclaiming that is the name and the Word of God that I am seeking in my Torah study right now. And my purpose is Havagodel Elokeinu, to give glory to God, that I know this is not some text written according to Bible critics by different authors, human beings, Chas V'Shalom. It's not even written by Moshe Rabbeinu, Chas V'Shalom. It is the Word of God, the Living God, dictated at Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu, with all the myriad explanations given over orally to Moshe Rabbeinu, and given over from father to son and mother to daughter for 3,500 years. As it is alive today as it was at Sinai. As a matter of fact, the sound gets louder and broader as the generations go on, all pervasive, and the Torah is revealed even more in every generation. The students may get weaker, but the revelation continues. So therefore, says Reb Chaim Brisker, the Birkas HaTorah is unique. There's nothing like it. The blessing on the Torah is not a blessing on the act I'm about to study Torah. Who says, First, the student defines the chetza, the article. It is a definition of the article itself that is in front of me. What is this text? I have to define that this is the word of God. So the bracha is on the text, not on me and my action. And therefore, women, if they wish to study Torah any day, women must make this blessing. They, not must they, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. When a woman comes to the shir tonight, or every day, women that I know make a bracha every day, because inevitably, they're going to daven, they're going to say Shema, Shema is Torah. Every woman studies every day. You say Tillim, you're saying Torah. So every Jewish woman must make a bricks of Torah to define that I am not just reciting Psalms of David, who was a great poet. There was Shelley and Keats and Tennyson and Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And there was King David, great bard of Israel, sweet singer of Israel. The words of David HaMelech are not poetry, they are divine inspiration. And his inspiration and his closeness to God invested the Psalms of David with the Kedusha, that when you study Tillim, you have the same mitzvah as studying the Ten Commandments. Even though Moshe's level of prophecy far surpasses that of David, but as far as the article of Torah, you have the same mitzvah studying Tillim as you do studying the Ten Commandments, or any part of the five books of Moses. So every woman has to make this blessing to proclaim, I want to bond with God. Because Torah is not just an intellectual pursuit. That's exactly why the blessing is not little my Torah. I'm not making a bracha, God command me to study Torah. Because as Maral said, that would imply, I'm studying Torah to know the exact halacha. I'm studying it because of intellectual pursuit. Not at all. I'm studying Torah as a spiritual pursuit. I want my soul to be illuminated by the light inherent in every word and letter of Torah, and thereby have the strongest bond with Almighty God. And now we understand why the Rambam, this Reb Chaim doesn't say something. I'm just adding this to the concept we're developing. It makes so much sense now why the Rambam follows the opinion of the Rif that the bracha is not lasik v'divrei Torah. The first bracha, which defines the subject, is al divrei Torah. It's a bracha on Torah. I'm making the bracha on the article of Torah. And even though we say lasok, again, lasok doesn't mean to study. Lasok means I'm involved in making Torah. And therefore, now we understand something else. And that is that Nachmanides, Ramban, counts Birkas HaTorah, the blessing of the Torah, derived again from the verse, Ki Shem Adonai Yekra HaVagod Aleinu. Nachmanides, Ramban, in his comment to Rambam, Maimonides, Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Book of Mitzvahs, Nachmanides wonders, the Rambam, when he's listing the 613 basic mitzvahs of the Torah, Rambam, you left out one of the most important mitzvahs. The Rambam does not count in his list of the 613. He counts a shofar, a lulav, an esrog, Shabbos, Yom Tov. He doesn't count that there's a mitzvah to make a bracha on the Torah. Says Nachmanides, that's a big omission. Sorry, Rambam. You should have included, as I do, in my list of the 613, there's a separate mitzvah. There's one mitzvah to study Torah, and there's one mitzvah to make a blessing before you study Torah. Why'd you leave it out, Rambam? But the answer of the Rambam will be, because this is not a regular bracha. This bracha is not the pshat that there's Torah, and I'm making a blessing on the mitzvah of studying Torah. There is no Torah until I, the student, define and identify the Torah as Torah. because maybe I'm just studying an interesting book, and maybe it's just this and Shaftas Yudentums. The bracha of the Torah, says the Rambam, is part of the mitzvah of learning Torah. Because the mitzvah of learning Torah is to discover the name of God and the will of God. And the blessing is part of that. By making the blessing before I study, I have hereby identified that this is not just a literary text, this is the word of living God. So that itself is what Torah study is all about. So the Rambam says, of course you make a blessing. But the blessing is part and parcel of the overarching mitzvah of studying Torah.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Miyeh Bezvaro.
To appreciate a little better the unique nature of Torah, this is a very opportune time to have this lecture on the threshold of Shavuos, Zman Matan Torah Seinu. The Torah teaches us in Parshas Yisro, the Torah, the prologue, the introduction to the Sinai experience and the revelation. The Torah says in Parshas Yisro, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chof, chapter 19, verse 20, Vayered Adonai al Har Sinai el Rosh Ahor. Listen carefully. Hashem descended upon Mount Sinai to the top, the pinnacle of the mountain. Vayikra Adonai la Moshe el Rosh Ahor, Vayal Moshe. And then God called out to Moshe and said, come up to the top of the mountain. And here Rashi makes a very interesting observation. The text says that Almighty God came down Al Har Sinai, Al Rosh Ahor. Sounds like God gave the Torah from where? Where was His pulpit? The pulpit and the platform was the top of Mount Sinai. As we state. He asks Rashi a very interesting question. Yochel Yardel of Mamash, do you think God really was there? But it says in the next chapter, in the same Parsha Yisro, it says in Shemos Chof Yutes, chapter 20, verse 19, it says, Ki min ha-shamayim dibarti imachem. God says, Jewish people, don't forget the Sinai experience, because it was from heaven that I spoke to you. So, what's going on, says Rashi? Here the Pasuk says God descended upon the top of the mountain. He gave the Torah from Sinai down here on earth. And in the next chapter, God says, I told you the Torah. I gave you the Torah. I expounded it from heaven, not from the top of Mount Sinai. Says Rashi, I have an answer for you. We can have both. How does it happen? Says Rashi, Merdeka Rashi, Melamed. Shehirkin Shamayim al Yainim Vitachtoinim, Veitzian al Gabe Ahar, Kimetza al Mita. Says Rashi, God took the celestial spheres, the upper heavens, the lower heavens, which are out of this world, they're beyond all the galaxies, the 100 billion galaxies, each one with 100 billion stars. We're talking heaven here, beyond the cosmos, beyond the universe. God took the celestial spheres and took heaven and rolled out the heavens on Har Sinai, like you roll out a rolling mattress on a bed. And then Yorat Kisya Kovad Aleihem, Hashem came down for a landing on His Kisya Kovad, His celestial throne. This Rashi sounds to me like Kabbalah. This sounds so mystic. This is Mysterium Magnum. This is a mystical Rashi. So Rashi's saying like this. He's saying, no problem. One Pasuk says God gave the Torah from Har Sinai. One Pasuk says He gave from heaven. No problem. God put heaven on top of Har Sinai. And He spoke from a pulpit, which was the heavens on Har Sinai. How do you do both? It's amazing. What does this mean? It's amazing. What Rashi is telling us here, a basic fundamental of Judaism, what Torah means. Because the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, great disciple of the Vilna Gaon, says that the Torah, wherever it goes, is always in heaven. Listen carefully. The Torah is the word of the living God. Wherever God is, that's heaven. So when it says Hashem came down to Har Sinai, yes, but Torah is out of this world. Torah is from a different dimension. Torah is from the world of souls. Torah is beyond comprehension to the base human mind. It's from a different dimension. It's the eternal, unlimited, infinite, godly intellect. So it's impossible to understand it even, to comprehend it, to deal with it, without the presence of God Himself to teach it to us. So therefore, when it says Hashem spoke to us and gave the Torah at Sinai, and the heavens opened up, it must be that God Himself is there with heaven, because the Torah never leaves heaven. Which means, and this is the pshat, that when any one of you or I are privileged to walk into a house of Torah study, you walk into the Philadelphia Kollel here in Balakinwood, you have stepped out of Lower Merion, and you are now in heaven. You have now gone out of this world. You have been beamed up to a different world. You're out of this world. You're out of this world. You're not just in the stars. You are mamish in heaven. Torah study is an encounter with out of this world. It is literally out of this world. You're in heaven. And therefore the Torah makes this point. It's not Stama Rashi, a nice Rashi. It's not nice. There's no nice Rashis. They're all basics. This is basic Weltanschauung, Hashkafa, world outlook of a Jew and a Jewess. That Torah is different than anything else in the world. And the Baal HaTanya says that that's the difference between Torah and mitzvahs. Imagine the king, he says. The king is dressed in his royal robes of ermine and sable. Very thick robes, many layers. He's also carrying his orb and scepter. He's carrying his scepter, his regalia, his paraphernalia. When you touch the scepter, that's not the king. That's the scepter. However, if you embrace the king himself, even though there are many layers of clothing, heavy clothing and robes between you and the king and his flesh, you are embracing the king. So, when a Jew does a mitzvah, mitzvahs are great, but mitzvahs are not God Himself. They're the paraphernalia of God. They're a gift of God. It's an opportunity to get close to God, but it's of this world. The scepter is not the king. It's out of the king's hand. It's in his hand. It can be in his hand, out of his hand. It's not him. A mitzvah is of this world. It has somewhat become materialized. It has become earthly. Torah, when we study Torah, we are embracing the King Himself. There may be many layers that are between us and the ultimate truth. In other words, the more we study, the more we, so to speak, take off the layers of clothing between us and the King Himself. But whenever we study Torah, it's an embrace of God Himself. The more we study, the less layers of this worldly concepts lie between us and understanding God on a higher level entirely. Those are malbushim. Those are cloaks. But it is God Himself when you study Torah. Awesome. So therefore, Torah study is literally a hook up to heaven. And the simplest metaphor, is the Medrash in Parshas Truma, where the Medrash tells us what is Torah like. It's like a king who had a beloved one and only daughter, his princess, loved her dearly, inseparable. But of course, you love your daughter, but if you really love her, you're not selfish. You want what's best for her, so you have to marry her off to her king, her knight in shining armor. So of course the king finds the right shidduch for his beloved one and only daughter. He has to give her away for her sake. He cannot keep her for himself, or else her life is meaningless. But then again, he can't part from her. So he tells his dear daughter, you're going off over the horizon with your prince, but make a room in your castle for me, so I can visit you all the time. So too says the Rabbeinu Shlalom, I must give the Torah to the Jewish people. Otherwise the Torah has no meaning. The whole meaning of the Torah is made to be the modicum and the medium whereby the Jewish people can connect to God. And if there's no Torah given to them, the Torah doesn't have its value. But on the other hand, the Torah is the dearest thing to me. It is me. I must come along. There must be a room for me. Wherever the Torah goes, wherever the princess goes, there's a room for me. I will go along. I have to give her away, but I'm coming along. As it says in Mishlei, Ki Hashem Yitein Chachma Mipiv Dasu Tfuna. Says the Medrash, another metaphor. Ki Hashem Yitein Chachma. God gives wisdom. Sometimes He gives it away. But Mipiv, from His mouth, Dasu Tfuna. There is deeper perception, understanding. Says the Medrash, Mashal to a Melech. There was a king. And the king had many troops, a large army. And the army marches on its belly. You have to feed the troops. So the king, of course, gives out the daily rations to his troops. Good food. Important. Morale. Koyach. And so they're giving out generous portions from the commissary. But the king's crown prince is traveling along on the campaign. And the king says to his son, go take a portion. Son says, I don't want the portions that are doled out by the chef. I want to eat from Tati's plate. I want to eat the morsel that you bit into. I want to bite into that which was bitten by your mouth. Because my love for you, Tati, is more than the love of the food itself. I want to take a piece of Tati. I want a piece of the king, not a piece of food. The soldiers, they don't love you like I do. They want their food. They want their steaks. I want you. Those who don't understand what Torah really is, Ki Hashem Yitein Chachma. There are many who study Torah and God gives them wisdom. But they're missing the depth and the soul of Torah, which is Mipiv Dasu Tfuna, from God's mouth. Those who truly want to understand what Torah is, they want to kiss God's lips. Yishokeinim neshikos pihu. And God kiss me with the kisses of your lips, because those kisses are better than wine. I want God Himself. The purpose of Torah study is Kishem Hashem Ekra. I want to know the name of God. I want to be intimate with God. I want to have a relationship with God. And that's why the Gemara itself is very intricate and complicated. And many people have asked many times, why do we have what's known in Aramaic as Shakla V'Tarya in the Gemara? Shakla V'Tarya means give and take. We have debates of the rabbis, back and forth. And one rabbi says, why did you say that? Maybe you meant that. What could you have meant? What's the Havamina? What's the Maskana? What was the original thinking? What do you think now? And we go back and forth and back and forth. And some say, those who aren't initiated say, why do you have to go through this whole debate? And this whole ping-pong game, back and forth, and yes, why did the rabbi think like this? And why did the rabbi think like that? And what did the Torah have in mind? And what did it mean originally? And how can he approach it this way? Maybe he meant this, maybe he meant that. But it's like a relationship. So, you know, a husband comes home from work, and his wife wants to talk to him. She hasn't spoken to him the whole day. So she'll be chatting and talking about this and that, and he might say, let's get to the point. So what's going to be? And she'll say, what are we going to do this summer for a vacation? And she'll say, maybe go to Switzerland, and maybe we'll go to Alaska, maybe we'll go to the Rocky Mountains, and maybe we can only afford Valley Forge. So the husband says, you know, all we can afford is Valley Forge. So what are you sitting here and tumbling about Alaska trips and about this? And come on. Oh, but I just love talking about it with you and thinking about it. That's a relationship. Don't you understand? A husband, hello, you're from Mars? I like to talk these things out. I just enjoy talking with you about this. And, you know, thinking, let me tell you my reveries for the day. And I was thinking about this. And I said, what if I win the lottery? Where would we go? How would we spend the money? How would we retire? Where are we going to... And she's talking and talking. And the husband, if he's a good husband, says, yeah, you know, I can think about that too. And he's a smart husband. He connects. And he starts talking back and forth, although it's not Lamaisa, it's not going to happen. He knows it's not going to happen this year, it's not going to happen anytime soon. But it's nice to talk together and schmooze about it, and just to get to know you better. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know where your mind is going. Back and forth and zigging and zagging. Because Torah is a relationship with God. And when we study Torah, even if we're not studying Lamaisa, Halach Lamaisa, we don't learn just Shulchan Aruch, black and white, this is what God wants. We study Talmud, or even in the Shulchan Aruch itself, you go through the intricacies of a halacha question. You go back and forth, and maybe this way, this nuance, that nuance, this thought, this possibility. But, because Torah is not just about what to do, it's not a book of instructions, it's a book of relationship with Hashem. This is how we get to know God's way of thinking better, so to speak, in human terms. It's a relationship. And that's what Talmud Torah is all about. To connect with God's heavenly self. And that is why there is nothing more delightful in the world than studying Torah. If one understands what it means. So now that we understand for a moment, so let's go slow over here. So we have really just finished the first bracha. I'll be a little quicker on the next few. The first bracha was Lasak B'Torah Al HaTorah. The first bracha was a definition of the subject. Then we have the supplication. We have this intermediary bridge supplication. V'harav no Hashem l'keinu with divrei saras chavafinu. Hashem makes sweet in our mouths and to us the words of Torah. Now, this presents a great problem. We have a rule. Mitzvahs lav lechones nitnu. Mitzvahs are not given for pleasure. Mitzvahs are not for pleasure. Rashi says a mitzvah is given to be a servant doing the will of God. God's an absolute monarch. Just do it. Don't ask questions. Ours is not the question why. Ours is about the do or die. Just do what the good Lord says. Suddenly, by Torah, we're saying to God, we have this amazing supplication ability. V'har revno Hashem l'kein, the wadivri sarisva b'finu. Hashem, please make sweet the words of Torah in our mouths, and the mouths of our children, and other people's children, forever and ever, and Torah should be learned Torah l'shma. So the commentaries tell us, Rabbeinu Avrom and Ahar, to Nedarim Memches, and the famous Iglei Tal in his Hakdama, the Iglei Tal, the Sochet Shavu Rebbe, Rabbi Nezer says, many people think, that if you study Torah with great gusto and relish, you're not having the mitzvah. Because it's too good. It's too geschmack. People are riveted to their Gemaras or their Chumashim or to Tanakh or whatever they're learning, Shir Hashirim or Tilm, whatever it is, and they're enjoying it. Mitzvahs, you're supposed to enjoy it so much? It's like too much fun. It's too good to be true. Says the Avnei Nezer, if you don't learn with geschmack, with flavor and gusto and pleasure, you haven't learned Torah. Quite the opposite. The idea of Torah is that the human mind has the privilege and the ability to commingle with the almighty intellect of God Almighty. What can be sweeter and more exciting, more tantalizing than that? Fakhrutdin says, if you learn Torah just peremptorily, without any pleasure, bliss, then the Torah is not going to be swallowed and absorbed into your personality. You will not become a Torah personality. The Torah is as outside, it's peripheral, superficial, shallow. The Torah, the idea of studying Torah is that I blend and merge and meld myself with God. And that's the most pleasant thing in the world, that relationship. Relationships are pleasant, geschmack. And it's intellectual and emotional and spiritual relationship. So it must be geschmack. And therefore, b'harevno. We ask Hashem, please make it sweet. I ask you permission, Hashem, please. I beg of you, open my heart and mind to this. Let me get to the core of Torah study, not just the lip service. And unfortunately, many just have lip service. It's a privilege. It's a gift. We beg God to give us that gift. My father-in-law, the Talmud Rosh Yeshiva Rav Gifter, he loved Torah study. He was infatuated. And we'd always say over, I just told you, I learned it from him, what B'harevno means. And just today, my son, my Bechor, who's visiting us from Israel, where we have a yeshiva in memory of Rav Gifter, the Talmud Rosh Yeshiva. So my son reminded me of a story that happened to him, about many years ago, about 23 years ago, when he was about 15, my son. He should live me well. So my brother-in-law, Rabbi Gifter's son, was getting married, and the Gifters were staying in a hotel in Borough Park, and the wedding was taking place in Long Island, I think in Great Neck. So Rebbetzin Gifter, Rabbi Gifter, Rabbi Gifter, Shlomo Miwell, Rabbi Gifter, my brother-in-law, Rabbi Yisrael Gifter, and my son, they were traveling in the car to Long Island to the Chasna. Fine, they left on time, plenty of time to get to the Chasna. About halfway there, suddenly they realized that they forgot the ring back at the hotel. Oh, you know, turned around, went back to the bar part to get the ring. So, Rebbetzin Gifter, my brother-in-law, went up to the room. Things are getting late. And my son is in the car. And throughout the trip, my son was speaking to Rebbe Gifter in words of Torah. And the course of the conversation, seeing Rebbe Gifter, who was then 70 years old, and was not feeling so well, Rebbe Gifter forgot a Tosafos, one of the Tosafos commentaries on the Talmud, on the Gemara. And my son was speaking to him throughout the journey, and then when Rebbetzin Gifter and my brother-in-law went out of the car to go upstairs to the room, these two stayed in the car, and suddenly Rebbe Gifter burst out crying bitterly, and he was in convulsions. My son was he was a kid, 15 years old. He was petrified. What's happening over here? Like, he thought he's not well. He had some tremors, and Rebbe Gifter was sobbing, and he was bent over in pain. And he was sobbing uncontrollably and convulsing. So my son was going to run upstairs, think maybe call out Sala, do something, he didn't know what to do. And suddenly Rebbe Gifter lifted his head up and says, "Tzikala, tzikala, don't get nervous. I'm not in pain, I'm okay. And believe me, I'm not crying over the fact that we're wasting time with this ring. We could have done the ceremony without a ring, we could have gotten something else with a pruta. I'm crying. I'm distraught. Because in the course of our conversation, I realized I forgot the words of a Tosfos. And there's nothing more dear to me in life than the Torah that I studied and I know. And that I should forget a Tosfos. I am so broken by this. I am so at a loss that it's like I lost a dear relative. Dear, I forgot the words of a Tosfos commentary on the Talmud. I cannot tell how much pain I have over this." Immediately when my mother-in-law came back with the chasm, he regained his composure, didn't want to disturb the chasm, regained his composure. Meanwhile, the mechutin in Great Neck, who was connected with Hatzal and the police, put out an APB, an all-points bulletin, for all the police in the whole New York State looking for a lost chasm, but they got there just in time for the chuppah. But my son will never forget that story. And today, he reminded me of that story, of what it means to love Torah, that Torah is the dearest, sweetest thing in a person's life. That was Rebbe Gifter. And people asked Rebbe Gifter, talk when he was younger, how do you have such a phenomenal memory? You remember everything. He said, I don't have a photographic memory. So how can you remember everything? He said, because every time I learn a page of the Talmud or a page of the Chumash, I imagine that this may very well be the last day of my life. I may never see this page again. I have the chaperayim. How can I leave this beloved bride of mine, the Torah? It might be the last time I see it. I live with a sense of urgency, with a sense of desperation. I have the chaperayim. I have to grab the Torah. I have to etch it into my brain and into my psyche, because this might be the very last time. As a matter of fact, you tell boys to learn a lie, you say to the boys in yeshiva, young man, cover ground before the ground covers you. I have a very dear friend, my friend Reb Mordechai, who sat next to me in the yeshiva for many years, maybe 15 years we sat together. And he told me that when he was a younger boy in high school yet, he wasn't sure what his path in life would be. Today he's a huge Talmud Chacham. But he wasn't sure, he had different ideas, he wasn't sure what to do. And he was actually in a quandary. And one day Rebbe Gifter gave a shiur to his class, and after the shiur was over, whenever Rebbe Gifter finished learning, he would close the Gemara and give a real smacking kiss to the Gemara, a loud smacking kiss with such love. So my friend Mordechai said, I was in the 12th grade and I wasn't sure what to do next. When I saw and heard that kiss, that love of Torah, the Rebbe Gifter lavished upon the Gemara, It was clear to me, that's it. Torah is the best ischayra. I must learn Torah. Baharav, no. Nothing is easier than Torah. Nothing is more geschmack than Torah. So we have, the first bracha was the bracha on the subject. The second bracha, and we'll wrap this up soon. The second bracha was, Baruch Atah Hashem HaMalam Mei Torah Le'am Yisrael. That the second bracha is, Hashem, you be the Malamed. Hashem, you be the teacher. Why is this such an important component of the Birkas Torah? Because here, the teacher defines the subject. The only way Torah, as we're describing, Torah is celestial. Torah is out of this world. Torah is given from heaven and remains in heaven. Torah is the Word of God. Torah is not just a storybook. So in order for the subject to be that subject of Torah, you have to have only one teacher can do that for us. That's God Almighty Himself. And any flesh and blood teacher, any mortal mentor, is merely a loud speaker, a mouthpiece for God to put into human terms. And as I have the privilege to stand before you here tonight, it is not I who is speaking. It is Hashem Himself who is addressing you. I just have the privilege to be the sound system. Like this sound system, there's these mics, and there's these speakers. I'm part of that sound system, that's all. I'm just a broadcaster. It is Hashem who is the Malamed. But here by Torah, the Malamed defines the Nilmad. The teacher defines the subject. So again, in keeping with Reb Chaim Brisker's word, the Birkas HaTorah is to define what Torah is. The first bracha is the actual subject. It is Torah, Holy Torah. The second bracha, Malamed, is telling us who the teacher is, and that defines it as being the Word of God. Rabbi Gifter, in his humility, whenever he was asked by a stranger, I don't know who you are. Yeah, my name is Gifter. What do you do? He would say, I'm a Malamed. Now, in normal parlance, a Malamed means I'm a teacher, and usually a teacher of younger grades, not even a Masifta Rebbe. Malamed somehow sounds like a teacher of lower grades. And Rabbi Gifter explained that reason why he called himself by that name, and he meant it. He said, it's a little bit pompous to call yourself Rosh Yeshiva. What greater title could there be than to have God title? We all make the bracha every morning. Hamalami Torah, Lami Yisrael, God's a Malamed. If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for Mordechai Gifter. And he said, I have the schus to be part of a very exclusive club. It's an exclusive society called the Malamedim Club. And Hashem is our president. So that's all I want to be. I just want to be Malamed, God's club. And finally, my friends, we're coming to the end. The third bracha. The third bracha of the Birkas HaTorah, my friends, is a very interesting bracha. Three brachas. What's the third bracha all about? How does it go again? The third bracha goes, the third bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, who has chosen us from all the nations. V'nasa lanu esterasai. Baruch Ato Hashem Nosein HaTorah. Blessed are your God who has chosen us from all the nations, gave us His Torah, and continues to give it. Nosan and Nosen. What does this mean? Says Reb Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, this third bracha, the Gemara calls this in Brachas Yud Aleph, the Mulash of Brachas, the most important of the Brachas. Why is it so important? The other two are pretty important. I think we explained that. The Gemara says, of all three, this is the Mula. This is the top. Very important. Muy importante. This is very important. Chashud Mod. What's that? Is? Says Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. Because, you know, if you work for the government, you have to have a security clearance. You have to, the CIA, the FBI, have to give you clearance. Maybe you're a spy. Maybe you talk too much. Maybe you can't be trusted. Torah is the most precious thing in the world. It is literally the secrets of God. How God created the world and runs the world and controls the world. It's very privileged information. God only shares it with those who promise and make a pledge of loyalty and fealty. to Hashem. And we must promise, says Rav Levi Yitzchak, that we will not do anything to corrupt and taint and contaminate this precious holy Torah with any external alien ideas, concepts, immorality, immoral behavior. I will learn Torah for the right reasons. I will learn Torah to know the name of God. I'm not learning it for my own glory. I'm not learning it to make money. I'm not learning it to control other people, to have a job. I'm not learning it to misinterpret it so that it follows my agenda of a different vision of what Judaism is. Torah is easily corrupted, easily distorted, both intellectually and even by a person's own personal conduct. The Torah is only as pure as the kli, the vessel, in which it is being contained. One can only comprehend Torah in its purity and its authenticity if his personality and his character are pure and clean and with integrity and decency and honesty and sanctity. So the third bracha is the most important bracha. First, in the first two brachas, it was an application. It was a registration. I'm registering in God's great yeshiva. Hashem, will you take me into your yeshiva? Will you be my malamed? I want to study your Torah. I want the subject to be Torah. I want you to be my Rebbe. Be my malamed, please, Hashem. This is the application. The first two are an application, a supplication for admission into this very, very unique society of true Torah students. But now Hashem says, you must take a pledge of allegiance, an oath of loyalty. Tell me you're loyal. So I say, Hashem, thank you, Hashem, bochar bonu mikol amim. I appreciate, Hashem, that you chose the Jewish people from all the alien ideologies of those who don't really believe in you and who do not act in consonance with the holiness and purity of God and His Torah. I pledge that I will bring in no foreign thoughts and actions into my Torah life and Torah study. Because we are different than the nations and we act differently and think differently, that is why God chose us. So as they say, this old ditty that goes, this above all is the greatest of treasons, to do the right things for the wrong reasons. So if someone learns Torah for the wrong reasons, that's treason. The third bracha is a pledge not to be treasonous with the Torah. It's a security check. Torah is classified information. We have to vow that we're not going to give it over to the enemy, to the forces of evil. I will not act according to those forces. I heard an awesome story a few months ago. There was a great rabbi living in Muncie. He was the mashgiach of the Beis Medrash Elyon, the first great yeshiva in Muncie. His name was Rabbi Yisrael Chaim Kaplan, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. He was the son-in-law of the legendary great mirror mashgiach, Rabbi Yeruchim Lubavitz. And he was in the great yeshiva in Muncie in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, great man. And he told over to his students once that he was present when the Holy Chafetz Chaim, he was by the Chafetz Chaim in the 1920s. And the Chafetz Chaim said a startling, astonishing thing. The Chafetz Chaim said to the Bachrim that were around him in the yeshiva in Radin, there are great massacres, pogroms going on in the Ukraine. That was the time of the Russian Civil War, the whites against the reds, Semyon Petlura and his Cossack hordes, Nebuch murdering tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands of Yidden in the Ukraine. I was in Kiev last year. The chief rabbi showed me pictures, horrible pictures from that period, of Jewish bodies stacked like firewood, like cords of firewood. Mountains and mountains of Jewish bodies during this pogrom period in the Russian Revolution, but the word didn't get out to the world because of the Russian censorship. The Chafetz Chaim said to the Bachrim, if a Cossack kills a Jew in the Ukraine, it's your fault. It's our fault. What's my fault? Yes. Because of you, Bachrim, would be learning Torah properly with all your strength and with all your interest, undivided. You would really be serious, dedicated and serious in your learning, and you put all your strength in the Torah, Let me tell you, there's only so much strength in the world. You hear this? There's only so much human vitality in the world. There's only so much energy in the world. If the Torah students grab it for Torah, then they would drain the Cossack of the strength to pull his pistol out of the holster to shoot a Yid in Ukraine. If you'd be learning Torah with full energy, you would be the ones to capture the energy resources of the world, and it wouldn't be in the hands of our enemies. They would be drained of their power. He couldn't withdraw his scabbard, his sword from his scabbard, to never decapitate a Yid. Amazing. This is also part of our pledge of loyalty. Hashem chose us from the nation means that God gave us the strength and the ability and the resources. You know, there's enough Jewish resources in this country and the world today. It used to be told that Jewish millionaires, multi-millionaires, there are Baruch Hashem, they're Jewish billionaires. Not just Jewish billionaires. Religious billionaires. Not just religious billionaires. Very, very, very Torahic billionaires. There's enough money, not just in the secular Jewish world, where they're giving the money to every cause but Judaism, but in the Jewish world itself, in the religious Jewish world, to support all the Torah that's necessary. Just that the people haven't made the decision yet to put their energy and resources into building Torah. And the Navardik Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yosef Yezel, said, if a person would worry about Torah like he worries about his own family, every one of us could build 100 yeshivas and 100 kolos. If we put as much energy and interest in building God's Torah, spreading His Torah, letting the word get out, spreading the truth to the masses of Jews, and ultimately be a beacon to all the nations, if we cared about Torah and the Jewish people as much as our own personal mishpacha, we could accomplish awesome things. The Birkas HaTorah is our daily reminder of our greatest privilege. It's the most important moment in our day. It should not be said, this bracha. This bracha should not be said on the run. If there's one bracha, you sit down and you open your siddur. And I try to do this every day. It's not easy. You and I know it, and I preach it, and I say it. We're always in a rush. That's the curse of our generation. We're in a rush. Rush. I try very hard. And that was just successful. To sit down and open the siddur and recite at least this tripartite Birkas HaTorah, thanking Hashem for the treasure, for the privilege to be of His nation. I say, God, this is the subject. My first bracha is Torah. It's heavenly. I'm entering into heaven on earth. Hashem, I want to apply. Be my malamed. Be my teacher. Hashem, I pledge that I will learn Torah like a Yid, with a Jewish mind, with a Jewish personality. I pledge to refine myself, that my heart and my activities and my character should be appropriate for a student of Torah. I will not allow alien things to enter and to contaminate me. If every Yid would say this brach every day and would know the privilege, this is what we were chosen for. As the title of the lecture is, this brach is our link back to our source at Sinai. Every day is Maamar Har Sinai. We don't have to wait for Shavuos to get the Torah again this year at Sinai. Every Jew and Jewess, women like the men, who makes this blessing every day, we are hereby connecting to the heaven that came down to earth on Sinai 3,500 years ago, to the top of the mountain. Heaven came down to earth. When we study Torah as we should, based on the molding of our mind and heart by this blessing, this awesome blessing, which is not a blessing, it is a creative blessing. It is a manifesto. It is a manifesto which manifests Torah. It manifests the Torah. It's literally a manifesto. By making this blessing, we are different people entirely. So my dear friends, I thank you all for listening. I know it's late. I appreciate you listening so attentively. It was a privilege for me and a pleasure to share this with you. But we all be zochet together that with our new commitment to Torah and Torah study and values, we will enrich ourselves and the Jewish people and make ourselves worthy to be in the vanguard of those who go out to meet and greet Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Mehir Yameinu. Have a wonderful Yom Tov.